Vasudevaya. Much louder, please. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. 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 Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 7, Text Numbers 51 and 52. Nalam dvijvatvam devatvam. Nalam dvijvatvam devatvam. Vishitvam vasarat maja. Vishitvam vasarat maja. Prinanaya mukadasya mukundasya navritam na bahu geta. Nalam jijvatvam devatvam. Ishidvam vasarat maja. Much louder, please. Pinandaya mukundasya navritang na bahu yata. I should point out to you, of course, I don't know how many listening have Brahmanan initiation, but the Gayatri Mantra is based on enthusiasm. Those who have received Gayatri Mantra know the core of the Vaishnava, of Brahma Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, Gayatri Mantra, is based on enthusiasm. Mahaprabhu becomes enthused. The gopis become enthused. So our entire science of Krishna consciousness, as given by our acharyas, is based on enthusiasm. If we want to be at all successful, then we must have enthusiasm. Therefore, these mantras, this is Sabdabrahm. This is not ordinary sound vibration, like the sounds of buses in the city of Los Angeles, airplanes, dogs barking. No, that is mundane sound composed of the material energy. This is Sabdabrahm. Sabdabrahm means transcendental sound vibration. It is not from the material world. It is not of the material world. It is not born of the material world. Neither is it composed by the fertile brain of any man or woman. No. As Sri Vyasadeva is not an ordinary human being. He is fully empowered by Lord Vishnu himself, Krishna himself. So this Sabdabrahm, we have to take shelter of this Sabdabrahm if we want to be successful. It requires enthusiasm. In the West, we say gusto. In India, they don't know what gusto means. But this is required. Please, put your heart into the sound vibration. Try to relish the sound vibration of Bhagavad Katha, of Harikatha, the secret of Krishna consciousness. Try to relish just Sabdabrahm. Try to dive deep into the ocean of the nectar devotion through the sound vibration. Now let's, with this meditation, because this meditation, we don't sit like this and listen to the mind. This is Vaishnava meditation is basically fundamentally in our line, Sabdabrahm, transcendental sound vibration. So please try to put your heart into it of this relishing this sound that is from the spiritual world, actually, and coming down from Lord Brahma originating from Lord Vishnu. It is not something new. It's not even 5,000 years old. It is going back to the very beginning of the creation. So please, it is eternal, actually. It is sometimes prakat, sometimes aprakat, sometimes manifest in the material universes. But by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, now it is manifest for us. Therefore, we have to take it. We have to take the shelter of this sound vibration. This is very deep Vaishnava meditation. Now, try to keep this in your heart. Actually, as a matter of fact, those scientists who believe in mind at all, some don't even believe in mind. They think we're just machines. But anyways, those who acknowledge the importance of mind, so the mind, they think the mind is centered out of the brain. Not actually. The Vedic version is that the mind is centered out of the heart, actually, because we are the soul is located in the heart, and the subtle body is covering the soul. Thus, all consciousness is radiating from the heart. So then it is distributed throughout the body, is distributed everywhere. So therefore, from our hearts we should chant these and hear this vibration. Now, with this whole meditation in mind, let's try it again. Nalam dvijat vam devat vam. Yes, you hear the difference? You hear the difference? That's right. There's a difference. One is present and the other is somewhere else. You know. Nalam dvijat vam devat vam. Rishit vam vasarat maja, vasarat maja, prinanaya mukundasya, na vritam na pahu gita, nanam devat vam devat vam, rishit vam vasarat maja, Prinaya mukundasya navritam na bahu gita naram divat vam devat vam vishit vam vasarat maja vatam prinanaya mukundasya Navritang na pahu gita. Next. Devadvam. Vishitvam vasarat maja. Prinanaya mukundasya. Baho Gita. Nanam Vivad Vam Devad Vam. Vishit Vam Vasarat Vaja. Traya Mukundasya. Avitam Na Baho Gita. Ladies. Nalam divad vam devad vam. Vishit vam vasarat maja. Prinayaya mukundasya. Navitam na bahu gita. Nalam divad vam devad vam. Vishivam vasarat maja prinayaya makundasya navritam na bahu gita nam jivat vam devat vam vishivam vasarat maja Prinanaya Mukundasya Navidamna Bahugita. So now I will read the 52nd verse, which is not on the board. Na danam na tapo neja na socham na vratanita priyateim alaya bhaktya hare anyat vidambanam. Translation. Oh, my dear friends, O sons of the demons. This is Prahlad Maharaj speaking. You cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods, or even great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or by vast learning. So actually, try to understand that Prahlad Maharaj is one of the first really heavy preachers. It's amazing. I mean, we're hearing from supposedly a five-year-old boy, you know. Of course, he is not the body. He's empowered saint. There's no question of being 5 years old. This shows Krishna consciousness is for everyone. Anyways, we'll return to this point. Again, this is relishable. You cannot please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by becoming perfect brahmanas, demigods, or great saints, or by becoming perfectly good in etiquette or vast learning. None of these qualifications can awaken the pleasure of the Lord, nor by charity, austerity, sacrifice, cleanliness, or vows can one satisfy the Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, means like, you know, sometimes, you know, like schoolboys may play this game of like acting like they're going to strike you in the face to see whether you're going to, and you're supposed, the other boy is supposed to not flinch, not supposed to close their eyes, supposed to look at him with the presumption he's not actually going to get slapped in the face. Flinching means this blinking business. Unflinching means unbroken, steadfast. No blinking, no doubt, no fear. Actually, the word unflinching is a heavy word. If we look at it, if we milk the Surbhi cow of the nectar of Bhagavat Katha, we find the word unflinching is very rich, Surbhi cow. We have to take the nectar coming from the Surbhi cow. Just one word, unflinching, unbroken, sold out, fearless, unbroken. All of this is within this word, unflinching. Only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to Him, the Supreme Lord. In other words, unalloyed. Now we have to take this word unalloyed. When Prabhupada was coming into Boston Harbor, there was one sign, unalloyed, isn't it, Archita? There was one sign, unalloyed metals. Alloyed metals means, supposing you take silver, copper, gold, and something else, mix it together, it's called an alloy, mixture. It is used in, metallurgy, the science of metals, jewelers, these kind of people, they use this word. Alloyed means mixed. That is not our line. Everyone say please. Anya vilasata sunyam. Together. Anya vilasata sunyam. No. Together. Anya vilasata sunyam. Come on. Sunyam gyanap kanardidavita. Come on, everyone, together. Anukulyena krishnanu. Shinam bhakta uttamam. Well, that is unalloyed, unmixed, pure devotional service. So, Unalloyed. There's another big, powerful word. Unalloyed means not mixed. Not mixed, as Mahaprabhu is saying, you know. That one must chant the holy name. Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. No other way but Yugadharma Maha Mantra. No other way. But it is explained, I believe, as the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Nasteva, Nasteva, Nasteva. Of course, in the Vedic circles, if you want to emphasize something very important, you say it three times. That is a Vedic conception. But Mahaprabhu is also saying three times, not by karma, not by jnana, not by yoga. Can one attain perfection in this age? Same purport as this first. Unalloyed, pure devotional service. Sold out to spiritual master, sold out to Krishna, like that. Unalloyed, unmixed. So unalloyed devotion to him, the Supreme Lord. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed, so these are power words, devotion to him. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Prahlad Maharaj is such a heavy preacher, you know. This is not lightweight preaching. His body was only 5 years old, but he's preaching heavier than any sannyasi, you know. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Such a heavy preacher. And he's talking in the beginning, he's my dear friends, O sons of the demons. He's not talking to, you know, new bhaktas or, you know, new age crowd, yoga practitioners who vegetarians. Not at all. That's not who he's talking to. He's talking to the sons of the demons. That's funny because there's one purport where Prabhupada's talking about, well, when Hiranyakasipu finds out that the school boys are becoming, quote, corrupted, unquote, and Skanda and Amarga are dragged in front of, is that Skanda and Amarga, yes, are dragged in front of the Hiranyakasipu. What is this? What you're teaching, my son? And what is this nonsense? How they've become polluted? It's not us, sir. Sir, it's not us. Really, really, it's not us. Oh! Now, what is your explanation? How it is coming? How is it coming? I don't know. I don't know. Oh, I don't know. Maybe there's some Vaishnav has infiltrated somehow. Some Vaishnav has infiltrated. In the purport, Prabhupada writes about, yes, so sometimes we are putting on street clothes for book distribution. So entering into that world for the purpose of distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Srila Prabhupada ki jai! So this conception of infiltration that is required to infiltrate into the land of Maya in order to create a spiritual revolution. So let's say, before we go any further, let's say the pranams to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vastaya Buddhale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Nana. Louder. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nivisesha Shunivari Paskajyadi Sitarane Om Aginata Manandasya Gina Gina Shalakaya Chaksuan Minitam Gina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. So purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become perfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. Material elevation to life as a brahmana, demigod, rishi, and so on are not the causes for developing love of Godhead. But if one sincerely engages in the service of the Lord, his Krishna consciousness is complete. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita 9:30. Api chet sudracharo pachate mam ananya bak sodur eva samantavya samyag yavasito hi saha. Even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Of course, this shloka should not be misunderstood. That doesn't mean that one can commit sin on the strength of chanting. Never. Unfortunately, today in the modern world, as the chanting of Hare Krishna is spread around the world, becoming very popular, and so there are a lot of people who are, smoking pot, marijuana, and taking different kinds of drugs and this and that. And then they also like chanting Hare Krishna, so then when there's part of their high, they will chant Hare Krishna. But it is not that one can keep doing this indefinitely. Sinful activity on the strength of chanting, then it has a spoiling effect on Mahamantra's aparad. But if it is, say, accidental fall down, like you forget Akadasi sometime, you're not doomed. If you forget an Akadasi, of course, there's ways to make it up also. But you can perform Nirjala once a year, Nirjala Bhima Akadasi, no water drinking, even no water. I don't know. I don't think there's very many people in this. I doubt there's very many devotees in this country that observe Nirjala Akadasi. And the temple I come from, you'll be amazed. Every Akadasi, there's probably at least six devotees, including my personal assistant, who observe Nirjala. Every Akadasi. As India is still got the devotees there. They have got some real qualities, the brahmacharis, and some outsiders, some householders even also near Jala Akadasi. And Bhima Akadasi, so many. It's very nice. They're coming together, congregational chanting, all-night kirtan on Akadasi. All-night kirtan. And this is not the temple I'm coming from, Punjabi Bagh. You can look it up on the internet, Punjabi Bagh, ISKCON Punjabi Bagh, Punjabi, like Punjab, the state, and Bagh, B-A-G-H, Punjabi Bagh. It's a medium-sized temple, but it's one of the largest book-distributing temples in the world. Very dedicated, mostly young people, less than 30 years old. And so every Akadasi, so many, at least six or more, are observing Nirjala. And actually on Bhima Akadasi, practically all of them, and outsiders also, householders also. So India is therefore still the land of Dharma, still the land for tapasya, favorable. That's why Prabhupada wanted everyone to go to India for some time, even if it's visit or to Mayapur. I was present on the St. Louis Temple. St. Louis, Missouri, Central United States, that was a small temple, certainly a very small temple. And so we received the order from Srila Prabhupada, all the disciples are to go to Mayapur. Actually, we were a small temple, very poor. We couldn't afford the airfares. But the first trip to Mayapur was really something. In those days, the devotees were all primarily from the United States. There was not much Indian devotees. In fact, when Prabhupada was talking about World War III, morning walks were going on in Mayapur, and it was Ramasaurus was on that morning walk. And he's saying, well, World War III, then there will be nuclear fallout, there will be pollution. How will we survive? How movement will go on? Prabhupada dismissed that. The environment is already polluted. He just wrote it off as if nuclear radiation was no big deal. Anyways, but at the same time, what was Prabhupada's concern? Not nuclear fallout, not nuclear bombs. That didn't worry him at all. At that time, there was almost no Indian devotees in 1974, 74-75, like that. There was almost no Indian devotees, very few Indian devotees. And in time of war, his concern was foreigners will be asked to leave, maybe asked to leave the country, then who will manage the temples? How will the movement in India go on? But of course, later, many, many, Krishna sent Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Prabhu, sent many thousands today. The preaching in India is very, very dynamic. So, this idea of diving deep, we have to try to do like that. So, Srila Prabhupada's purport, Prahlad Maharaj concludes that one can become imperfect by serving the Supreme Lord sincerely by all means. So, even if one commits the most abominable actions, if he's engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. But there is a line that doesn't mean that somebody can do anything they want in terms of sin and take shelter of this verse. Never. There must be conception of pure dharma, sanatana dharma. That is, in Krishna consciousness, we have a check and balance system. Guru, sadhu, shastra. Like in the United States government, there's supposed to be a check and balance system of executive and then elected branch and then judicial. It's supposed to be a check and balance system. It may be defective, but the theory, the concept, the ideology is it's supposed to be a check and balance system in order to avoid tyranny. So to determine whether we are online, whether are we in line with Sanatana Dharma, or are we going off Asampradaya? Are we going sideways? Are we deviating from Acharya? So for this check and balance system, Guru, Sadhu means the devotees, the Vaishnavas. Just like actually everyone sitting here is sadhu in one degree or another. You don't have to be Uttamanakari to be a sadhu. Uttamanakari means very high position. Everyone sitting here also sadhus in different degrees. There are different levels of devotional accomplishment. Guru, sadhu, and shastra. Shastra presented by the infallible Saktivesh avatar for us, Srila Prabhupada. Of course, Srila Vyasadeva in the same category. And Narada Muni in the same category. Mahajan. There's one purport where Prabhupada writes that Mahajan, there are actually more than 12 Mahajan. Yes. We generally speak of the 12 Mahajans, but there's one purport where Prabhupada writes there are actually more than 12 Mahajan. And from his description of qualification of Mahajan, we can understand that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Narottam Das Thakur, all our biggest heavyweight saints, including Siddha Prabhupada, are also Mahajan, according to Prabhupada's definition. So all Desha Kalapatra, time, place, and circumstance decisions about what is where the line should be, that is controlled by Guru Sadhu Shastra. To develop unalloyed love for Krishna is the perfection of life. Other processes may be helpful, but if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. That's very heavy language. But here we see that Prabhupada is just mirroring what Prahlad Maharaj says. Without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. Sometimes devotee, you know, Prabhupada put a lot of emphasis on the word sincere. Sometimes devotee would ask, so how do we be sincere? And Prabhupada refused to define it. He said, just be sincere. Bas. You see. Sincerity means serious, and sincerity means following Acharya. So if we want to define what sincerity means for a Vaishnava, it means strictly following Acharya, Vaidhi Bhakti, rising early in the morning, carefully chanting the holy name, 16 rounds, hearing Bhagavad Gita, kirtan, deity worship, like that. That is sincere. So without sincere devotional service, everything is simply a show. So we have to be very careful. Because nowadays, around the movement, there are, all over the, not only just ISKCON, but also outside of ISKCON nowadays, so many people are chanting Hare Krishna. Perhaps hundreds of thousands. But those who are not following the regular principles, although it's nice that they're chanting Hare Krishna, but they would not be in this category that Prahlad Maharaj is talking about because, quote, sincere devotional service, unquote, means at least following the regular principles and sadhana bhakti. That is sincere. So they may be nice people, they may be good-hearted, but if they don't have control of their senses and if they are taking intoxication, all these things, but they still like chanting Hare Krishna, all right, you can chant Hare Krishna, that is Yuga Dharma, that is very good. One day you'll become purified, come to that point where you can follow the regulated principles, but that is required. But without sincere devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj is not talking about modern America yoga groups and like that. Not here, no. That's not what Prahlad Maharaj is talking about, pure devotional service. Acharya must speak of pure devotional service. In Chicago, I was present in Chicago, Illinois, 1975. Prabhupada was lecturing. By 1975, Prabhupada realized that not all of his initiates were going to be surrendered disciples. I may have mentioned that, Prabhupada, I inquired, what about the third canto, Srimad Bhagavatam, mixed devotional service, does it apply to your disciples? And Prabhupada said, it depends who you consider to be my disciples. So by 1975, Prabhupada did not consider all of his followers and initiates to be disciples. You see? Disciple means who follows the discipline. So, Prabhupada could see how many devotees were not following Vaidhi Bhakti, were not following the regular principles, were not strictly real disciples, but just had some kind of shadow attachment for chanting the Maha Mantra. Of course, everybody likes eating Krishna Prasad. Everyone likes eating Krishna Prasad. Doesn't matter, what their lifestyle persuasions are. Everybody likes Krishna Prasad. So, this still, Prabhupada was lecturing that at least I have created third class men. Were you there? Side of it? No. Were you there? Were you there in Chicago when Prabhupada was late? At least I've created third class men, I said. So he was acknowledging it. All right, they're not all becoming pure Brahmins, A lot of hanky-panky going on, even when Prabhupada was on the planet. Free will is so powerful, we have to be careful. It's like handling some kind of radioactivity, free will. Krishna will not force any jiva to surrender. It is based on free will. Krishna will not keep any slaves. God will not keep any slave, never. Free will. He's only interested in those who will love him. That's all, unalloyed. This is the whole purport of this verse. Only those who will love him. That's all he's interested in. Unalloyed devotion to him. The Lord is pleased only if one has unflinching, unalloyed devotion to him. That means love. It's not mechanical. Love. In the beginning, Vaidhi Bhakti is required, rising early in the morning, chanting 60 rounds. That Vaidhi Bhakti means the regulated principles of devotional service. Of course, that is strictly required. But out of that, like the blossoming of a flower, like this flower, did not always look like this. At one point, it was a bud. And then gradually, it blossoms. So that is the conception of, from Vaidhi Bhakti, love of God must arise if one wants to be successful and follow the purport of this verse and to follow what Prabhupada is saying. But if one does not develop his love for Krishna, these other processes are simply a waste of time. Prahlad Maharaj is saying, everything is simply a show. That's very heavy. We should fear this statement by Prahlad Maharaj. Showcase. Prabhupada used the term show bottle. Show bottle. It used to be that they were put some colored glass bottle outside of a store and filled with water and a show bottle. I mean, it might not be containing medicine, medical shops. And it might not be containing any drugs or anything like that, nothing, no pharmaceuticals, but colored water, you know, to attract people and show an icon of a pharmacy. Prabhupada called that show bottle, not the show. Prabhupada also said, don't try to cheat Krishna. He is better cheater than you are. But we see sometimes devotees try to cheat Krishna, and they get busted. And those old timers here, Prabhupada disciples, been around for decades. No, isn't it true, Suraji? Every time a devotee, especially high-profile devotee, whatever, every time they try to cheat, Krishna arranges that they get busted, isn't it? Don't get away with it. They don't get away with it. Krishna arranges some devotee. There's a funny story in that regards. I don't know if it was here in Los Angeles or where it was, but there was some brahmachari. He lost control of his mind and senses, and so he went to some discotheque, to some nudie dancing. Do you know the story? He lost control of his mind and senses. He went to some nudie. And then he was like shocked because on the stage was a young woman who was formerly a brahmacharini. Uh-oh. And they recognized each other. She says, what are you doing here? He says, what are you doing here? Busted. This is Krishna's outrageous sense of humor. You know, outrageous sense of humor. We should understand Krishna's like this. Wonderful sense of humor. You know, got the point across. I don't know. I don't recall if he went back to the temple and offered his dandabhat pranams or not. But so the concept is there that we know each and every time the devotees try to cheat, they get busted. It's only a matter of time. Doesn't work. The Vaishnava definition of cheating, anybody know?
Drinking water.
Yes, very good. Come on, Haribol. Drinking water underwater while taking a bath on a fast day. No, I am Pukabaran. I am very fixed, see. I am very fixed. I am very advanced. You know, Prabhupada used to be quite sarcastic about it. He'd hear his disciples talking about advancement. He'd hear devotees talking about some so-and-so devotee is very advanced. Anyways, drinking water underwater while taking a bath on a fast day. Nirjala, I've described Nirjala Ekadasi. So, means no drinking any water. But he's taking a bath and then he takes a sip in the Ganga, you know. Sip of water underwater. And then it comes out, just see, I'm so paka, so first class. I'm not drinking even any water. I'm not taking even water on fast day. So that is Vaishnava definition of cheating. But Prabhupada would hear devotees talking about such and such person, such and such sannyasi, very advanced. This was earlier in the movement. And he gave the example, on the desert, there's growing castor bean tree. It's called a tree, but it's a bush. It might be, you know, less than a foot tall, or maybe a foot tall bush, castor bean, in the desert growing. So he would hear devotees saying, oh, so it's very advanced, you know. Prabhupada made this joke. He's saying, in the desert there's castor bean tree. It's a, really a bush. It's not a tree. It's a bush. Oh, it is a very big tree. Big devotee. Devotees used to say like that. Big devotee. So-and-so, big devotee. You see. Actually, our big devotees, the real big devotees. Yes, we have got big devotees in our line of disciple succession. Our Tam Das Thakur, Srinivas Acharya, Haridas Thakur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur, our own Srila Prabhupada, you know, Gorkhishordas Babaji, Jagannath Das Babaji, and so many saints in our line of disciple succession. Yes. Mahabhagwat, who are situated in Prema Bhakti, they are, quote, big devotee, unquote, no doubt about it. So, that is our link. We take shelter of this disciple succession. Then, that is very nice. So, Prabhupada continues, duties or dharma executed by men, regardless of occupation, are only so much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. That's from the Bhagavatam, first canto, second chapter, text number 8. What we find when I travel around different places, I do surveys, we find that so many devotees, congregation, even some temple devotees, are not adequately reading in Prabhupada's books, not taking shelter of his books. But here Bhagavad says, much useless labor if they do not provoke attraction for the message of the Supreme Lord. So this Bhagavad Katha, the Srimad Bhagavatam, it is a message of the Supreme Lord. But if we are in jaundiced condition, we cannot relish it. Now the Bhagavad Gita gives the secret. Krishna says, that which in the beginning may be just like poison, but at the end is like nectar, is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. And somebody might say, yes, that's talking about the mode of material nature. But the same principle on a higher level refers to devotional service. That person who hasn't got ruchi or taste, who has got no taste for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, you see, who hasn't got taste, that person is in jaundiced condition, then it is said taking sugar candy is required for jaundice, Ayurvedic. But it doesn't taste sweet. If you have got jaundice, it doesn't taste sweet, it tastes bitter. So Vaidhi Bhakti means we must follow by force if necessary. Then ruchi will arise. This is the principle of hearing. All right, we'll stop there. Anyone have any questions, comments? Thank you very much. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Shri Jagannath Swami Baladeva Subhadra ki jai. Shri Shri Rukmini Dogadisha ki jai. Nitya Gaur Premanandi.